my waves get lost in the ocean. 7 billion swimmers, man, I'm going through the motions.
Hi, this is Nancy Herald, and welcome to my show, High Road to Humanity. In every episode, I tell you powerful true stories filled with great wisdom that you can use in your own life as you strive for a higher road to travel. My featured guests will have their own unique stories to tell that enlighten your mind and your soul. So kick back, relax, and learn the secret to success when you take the high road. Hi, this is Nancy Herald, and welcome to my show, High Road to Humanity, and thanks so much for tuning in today. Hey, you know, I'd like to start every show with a true story, that's something that leaves you thinking. So today's story is called Don't Forget to Ask. Okay, so sit back and relax, and I'll read you my story. This is a true deal. When you hear a good deed that a person has unselfishly done for another person, you begin to realize that maybe there is still good in this world. And I began to believe again on a snowy January evening several years back. You may also regain hope after hearing this. It was early January and Old Man Winter had already shown himself. The snow had been falling for a couple of hours when I looked at the clock on the office wall. I was working on a new real estate deal and wanted to finish before I left for home that evening. But as I peeked out the office window, I realized that the snow was piling up quickly. I thought to myself, I better get going. I had to pick up the kids and then drive home. I packed up quickly and closed my office door. As I walked down the dimly lit hallway, I realized everyone had left for the evening. So I set the alarm and headed for the parking lot. Once outside, I realized the ground was covered with several inches of snow. Making my way through the white stuff, I realized that the drive home may be challenging. I got in, started the car, and let it warm up. Found my little scraper to wipe the snow off the windows, and then I hopped back in and I said a little prayer. Please let me make it home safely tonight, I said out loud. The snow had piled up quickly and my car didn't drive so well on the white stuff. As a side note, I had been living in New Mexico for a couple years at this time, and I had not yet witnessed this much snow. It was dark outside as I inched my way through the parking lot. The wind was blowing and the snowdrifts had already formed. I could see that the traffic was moving slowly as I pulled out of the parking lot onto the snowy pavement. As I pulled out onto the roadway, the car began to slide sideways. Before I could recover the vehicle, it slid into a large snowdrift alongside the road and stopped. I was grateful that there were no cars in my pathway, but I did begin to panic. I mean, what was I going to do now? Here I was, stuck in a huge snowdrift at night. At the time, I was a single mom with elderly parents, and I had no one to call to help me out of this mess. So I said out loud, I can use some help here. So just after I uttered those words, a young man appeared at my car window. I rolled down the window and said, and he said, don't worry, I'll help. You steer, and I'll push the car out of the drift. Surprised at the sudden appearance of someone to help, all I could say was, okay, thank you. All the while wondering where this clean-cut, dark-haired young man had come from. He wore a long black dress coat and black leather gloves. He pushed, and I steered. And after a couple tries, in no more than 5 minutes, I was out of the drift and onto the road. I couldn't believe it. I turned around to wave and say thank you, but he was gone. He had disappeared as quickly as he had arrived. What a nice young man, I thought. His parents taught him good manners to help a stranger in need. Or was he an angel who had come to an aid, who had come to aid a young girl in trouble? Either way, it's comforting to realize that there is good in this world, and somehow the right person will show up when you believe and you ask. Now, I've learned over time, when you make a request with pure intent, the universe responds because there is a higher power. I call him God. The result may not be what you're expecting. It may be something better. And this is one of those times in life that I realize there is still hope for all of us. And my hope in telling you this story today is that you will learn to ask too. So get out there and don't forget to ask, because there is a higher power. If you don't ask, you don't get. So it's really important that you ask. Okay. So now we have a full show for you guys today. I've got a wonderful guy. His name is Les Jensen. He has written a terrific new book, and I've just finished reading it. It's called Forgiven Sinner, God's Last Savior. And let me give you a little background on Last. Gosh, he's written other books. He has written Citizen King, which I haven't read, but I know it's a terrific one. It's a New Age book, came out in 2015. He is an author. He's a radio show host. He's a speaker. He's an energy master and a visionary. He was born into a Mormon household in Brigham City, Utah, and he's the last of seven children. Wow. And he has really had a lot of spiritual awakening. He has written this wonderful book that I think will help a lot of people, because I read it and he talks a lot about, he's been through so many different experiences, and we'll let him tell you his story because we all have a good story to tell, and that's why he's here today. But I'm so excited that he's taught me so much. And I think I know all this spiritual stuff and all this God stuff. And he taught me a lot through this book. So welcome, Les Jensen, to the show. Welcome to The High Road.
Well, thanks for having me. And let me start off by saying congratulations for having your own show. Bravo, bravo.
Oh, thank you, Les. You're a doll. And I can remember when I was on your show a couple years back.
You bet.
Yeah. Well, I'm so excited about this book because, and I just need to let you talk and tell a little bit about it. Give us a little synopsis. Like, why did you decide to write this book? What motivated you to do this?
Well, it's kind of curious because I spent several decades, should I say, not spiritual. I didn't have an inkling of a spiritual journey or a spiritual birth, if you will. And I worked in broadcast television for major networks. And when you do that, you see back channels. These are ways the networks feed video to each other through the affiliates.
Right.
So for decades, I'm watching reporting from all over the world.
Okay.
And I'm seeing the same story. We're not getting any traction in our stories. Year after year, decade after decade, there was war, there was famine, there was financial upheaval. And it really kind of rubbed me wrong that, I mean, you go to school and they teach you, and you go to church and they'd say there's this all-powerful God. And yet, if what they actually teach us worked, we should be able to see some traction.
Yeah, and so I always see everything's backwards, right? It's totally backwards. Go ahead.
So I started asking the tough questions. You know, if God is all powerful, why the hell is he waiting? What's he waiting for? What's going on? If saviors are going to save our fannies, you know, how come there's pain and suffering still on the planet? And being the last of seven kids, I kind of grew up on my own in that my siblings raised me. I mean, I remember my folks saying, does anybody see less? And if any of my siblings said, I do, that's it. They never asked what I was doing or whatever. So I could think on my own. And that gave me fierce freedom in drawing my own conclusions. And this book is a reflection of that.
Yeah, I read a lot of the stories, and I have to, and I hope you don't mind, I'm going to talk about a couple of the stories in your book. One of them, so crazy, I was sitting on the couch reading your book, and I read a chapter out loud to my husband, and it's when you were, and I can't remember exactly how old you were, I think maybe you were 12 or 13, when you fell into the water, and you were drowning, and you ended up on the shore. How was that? Is that about right? 12 or 13
yep.
When that happened to you? Well, the weird thing was, and Les can expand upon the story and how it went, but I'm telling my husband the story, and he said that exact same thing happened to me. He said, I went canoeing and fell out of the boat. Nobody saw me. And he said, I ended up on the shore, and I know I went under, and I don't know how I got out, but somebody pulled me out. And it was, and you see the look on his face. And so if you want to tell that story a little bit more in depth, that would be awesome, Les.
Sure. I'll give you the short version. I swim like a rock, and the scouts went out to a reservoir to play, the Boy Scouts. And there is probably 8 or 10 of us, and maybe 100 yards out was a floating platform. And everybody swam out to it, and boy, I kind of felt pressured to swim out there. So I did the backstroke out because it kept my face out of the water. I didn't like water at all. Right. And we played for a minute, and it seems like in no time at all, they all decided to go back. And I'm like, hey, if we went through the peril of getting out here, let's at least play a little while.
Right.
So I'm on my way back. I'm doing the backstroke, and I'm tilting my head back looking for the shore, looking for the trees. And my young mind had no idea of perception of depth or whatever. And I'm starting to see trees, and I think I'm plenty close to the shore. So mm-hmm. Let me just reach bottom. Let me just reach down and touch bottom. And so I stopped swimming and put my foot down, and I went down like a rock.
Oh, my goodness.
And the last thing I remember...
Hey, listen, Les, I'll tell you what. Why don't you... We're going to wrap it up here in a second. Would you mind telling us what happened after the break? Would that be okay with you?
No worries.
So, well, because this is such an exciting story, I don't want anybody to miss it. So we're going to give them a little bit of a break, and then we'll come back here in a second and we'll listen to the rest of the story. And this is Nancy Yearout, and we're so excited. I just want to say one more time before we go to break that we have Les Jensen on today, and his new book is called Forgiven Sinner. And Les, what's your website so people can visit you?
newhumanliving.com.
Okay. That way, if you guys want to go and visit Les, and you can get, where can they pick up your book?
Anywhere books are sold, Amazon, online.
Okay. All right. Terrific. All right. So having said that, we will be back here in just a few minutes, and we will hear the rest of Les' story about how he was saved, and he's not sure who saved him. So I'm thinking there is a higher power up there, Les.
Hang on. We have more stories to tell on High Road to Humanity. Check out Nancy's website, nancyyearout.com, to book your first 30-minute coaching session for free to get you on your high road.
Next time your parents or grandparents complain about walking to school uphill both ways, you can tell them about a village in China where getting to school is a real adventure. In the mountainous Sichuan province, children have to get to school from their tiny village of Atyular by rappelling, abseiling, and clambering down a 2,500-foot cliff. Using ropes and bamboo ladders to scale this one-half-mile-high Bruk Tumuk, the journey is so difficult that the school children, ages 6 to 15, only return home every 2 weeks. What's the word for the fear of heights? Hypsophobia. A new set of steel stairs is now being considered to help make the journey to school safer. By the way, a Bruk Tumuk is a hill so steep it hurts the stomach of anyone who tries to climb it.
It's marching down.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Word.
We want to thank you so much for listening to High Road to Humanity. This is where Nancy and her guests tell stories that will guide you and enlighten your mind and soul. Now, welcome back to the High Road.
Okay, we are back. And Les, finish telling your story about what happened to you when you were a young boy and you were in the water. Sure.
Yep. So I'm confident I can touch the bottom. So I stop swimming and I reach for the bottom and I go straight down. And the last frame, the last image I have, I was about 4 feet below the surface and going down, and all the oxygen from my lungs was going up to the surface. So my lungs were empty of oxygen, and then I blacked out.
Wow.
So I'm blacked out. I'm on the bottom of a lake. Nobody on the shore sees some kid flailing because I'm underwater.
Right.
And the next time I open my eyes, I'm up in the weeds.
That is so crazy.
And as a young kid, I'm like, oh, crap, I missed my ride home.
And that's so what you were worried about, right? Not that you drowned and ended up on the side of the shore, right?
I didn't process it. It didn't dawn on me.
How did that change you when that happened to you?
Well, as an adult, I look at that episode and it's like, I guess I'm here to do something. I mean, somebody dragged my fanny out of the water because my life wasn't over yet. I would have been in the obituaries had I been, you know, had I not had a life purpose. And so it just reinforces that I'm here for a reason, I guess.
And don't you think we all, I mean, I believe we all have a life purpose and we're all here for a reason. We all have a job to do. And I just really feel like we're here to learn. And I think you think that as well. As reading your book, you talk about God being on the inside of us and us always looking at God on the outside of us. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, sure. I think where we get stuck is with our mind. We look at our life and we look at events and momentum, if you will. But our eyes can only show us the past or the birthplace of the past. They don't have, they can't see the future. And that divine spark within us, you might call it your higher self or perhaps mm-hmm. your soul. It has a wisdom. It has a plan. It has a strategy for your life. But if your ego has complete control of all your consciousness, it's very unlikely that wisdom will ever come out and be fulfilled.
People just get too full of the material things that are here and they're looking at the outside instead of the inside. And I think that's one of the things that we're all trying to tell people is it's not important what you look like. It's not really important what you have. It's more important if you're nice and if you're kind and if you're decent to other people. Don't you think that?
Well, sure. It's there's a power to compassion, if you will. There's a power mm-hmm. to look at the human dynamic behind everything that's going on. If you get caught up in making something happen and you just look at the mechanics, I think our culture is a reflection of how lost undisciplined egos can get. And the ego, when the ego looks for external stuff to be fulfilled, it's a never-ending journey because there's always another episode, another, you know, prize to be sought. And the soul's like, is like, look, right here, right now, you have the ability to experience heaven right here, right now. Just slow down and tune in and let me reveal to you just how wonderful you are.
I love that in your book because you say that at the end and it's the truth. And I love how you say get up in the morning and think of yourself as heaven on earth and think of your life like that and live your life like that. And that's so awesome. It's basically change the mindset, change how you think. Because when we change how we think, we change our lives, right?
Yeah, certainly. Whatever we put our attention on tends to expand.
Yeah, and I think people are searching. This is what I think, Les. I just really feel that everybody is searching. The more people I talk to, I do coaching, you know, and I do speaking, and I'm out there, and people are lost, and they, like we were just talking about, they look outside, they look at the ego, they're looking for outside things to make themselves happy, and it's not, it's inside. And if we can just, and the connection too, that's why I chose this song Connection for High Road to Humanity, is because I just feel like with our iPhones and with everything else, we're just becoming more disconnected and more disconnected. And what we really need to do is become connected. Again, it's the opposite. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, connected. I would say connected to that inner wisdom. Like, for example, when my soul told me to start writing books, I couldn't identify with that at all. I'm like, who the hell wants to hear what I have to say? I'm a small town kid from Utah, you know. Mm-hmm.
But you got some wisdom, Les. You got some wisdom.
I kept getting that inspiration to write the book, and my point is. The ego likes to feel fulfilled, but so does the heart and the soul. If we ignore that inspiration from our heart and our soul, our heart and our soul doesn't have any sense of completion or motion towards fulfilling our life purpose. So once I started writing books, and now I've written several, wow, I can't tell you how amazing it feels to my ego to have followed the inspiration of my heart and my soul.
Instead of your head.
Yeah, and so I'm in love with following that inspiration. I know there's a much bigger vision of my life than my ego can comprehend. But if my ego ignores it, the chances of it fulfilling are slim to none.
And that's scary. You know, we all come here with a destiny and we want to fulfill it. And a lot of people have that spark inside and they know they've got something to do, but they're so afraid. Or maybe it's either fear or, I don't know, maybe they don't listen to their heart. And so that's a really good message to tell people to listen to their heart and listen to their soul and do what you feel, you know, instead of your head, if that makes sense. Because I always, I was one of those people that listened with my head, and now I listen with my heart. Hey, why is forgiveness important in the salvation to humanity? What do you think?
Well, imagine riding in a boat. And when we think about forgiveness, we're thinking about the past. So go to the back of the boat and look at the wake of the boat. And look at the troughs. Look how terrible my life was back then. Look what happened to me back then. Oh my God, look at the wake of my life. And nobody's driving the boat. In other words, when you're consumed with episodes of the past that have hurt your heart and your soul, you're not growing yourself. You're not expanding. So forgiveness can happen in an instant. Forgiveness is to say, you know what? Every single wake there showed me something about myself. There was a value to it. There was a gift, if you will. And then imagine turning around, having forgiven your past completely, and looking at the dynamics of your future, and then with your imagination, dream up what would feel fantastic to pursue. Now you're grabbing the boat and you're driving your life, and it's a totally different paradigm. Forgiveness exactly. Is very powerful.
Yeah, I'm with you. And when people hold on to stuff, I always tell people, if you don't forgive, you're really hurting yourself because the other person has moved on and you're still holding on to it. And it's quite interesting. So when you forgive, you're actually helping yourself. That's what I think. Indeed. When we find our salvation and we're able to enter the kingdom of heaven, you talk about it can be heaven when you get up in the morning. Talk to me a little about that and how you do that.
Well, heaven and hell exist right now today. Heaven and hell are choices for an experience today. A lot of the religious paradigms say that heaven is in the future after this judgment day thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if we mess up now, we'll go to hell. We're living in hell in a lot of ways because of the pain and suffering. So imagine this. You cannot change the momentum of your consciousness. In other words, your consciousness transcends your ego. When you were born, you didn't have an ego, but you had consciousness. That was the presence of your soul.
Right.
So no matter what your ego chooses, your consciousness is safe. The essence of you is safe. The continuity of your consciousness is assured. That's salvation right there. Mm-hmm. Your salvation is absolute. What the variable is with that consciousness, are you going to live in heaven or are you going to live in hell? As an old soul to come to this planet, you came to the Tempus, perhaps the most advanced class in karma in the galaxy. Planet Earth has some really tough lessons. And that means you're an old soul. That means you have some traction.
That's good to know. But we're trying to clear out our karma from, you talk about, you know, how to get rid of that. And are you basically saying that, okay, we've got this karma, we've created it. Now, if we can change our mindset and think differently, is what I'm getting from this, then we clear that karma. Is that correct? When you think, when you change your mindset to thinking this is more positive, more of a heaven on earth, dreaming about what you want and living that dream, because we're little designers, right? We're little creators, and I do believe that. So if we do that, will we clear out the karma, the bad karma?
It'll certainly be a step in the right direction. But like in my book, I mentioned releasing anger. Had I never gotten to the point of releasing the anger would still be in my persona. And I would have a karmic momentum with it, if you will. So absolutely steer your thoughts. Absolutely get some discipline with your consciousness. But there's an energetic element to our subconscious that has a karmic propensity to it.
Well, can you tell the listeners how you cleared your karma?
I ran out into the center lane of a busy interstate. And in that moment, I became totally consciousness. No, wait, that's the wrong story.
I knew that wasn't it.
I mean, if you want to get in the now quickly, the first time it happened was it startled me. It surprised me. And that's how my life path changed. But through meditation and inner reflection, I've been able to connect with a lot of unresolved stuff and bring it to the surface.
That's awesome. You know, and I always tell people too, meditation. And are you a big believer in affirmations and prayer? How do you feel about that?
Sure. You're reprogramming your consciousness when you have repetitive affirmations.
Right.
So, and affirmations help you get clear about what you want.
Yeah, and visualizations are wonderful because if you can see it, I always say if you can see it and you can feel it, then it's yours. You know, don't visualize yourself, somebody else in the new car you want. Visualize yourself and know the color and know what it feels like. And if you can do all of that, it's yours, right?
Yeah, we can talk about that after the break.
Sounds good. All right, guys, thanks for hanging in there and listening to us. And we'll be right back.
Back on High Road to Humanity, but make sure that you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, iHeartRadio, or download directly from Nancy's website, nancyyearout.com, so you never miss an episode of The High Road.
It's merging and
heard. Recently, while my family was skiing in Colorado, we were greeted by a red fox that darted out of the trees. This beautiful animal with his big bushy tail just stood in the snow and stared right at us. Maybe he smelled all the lubberwort we had in our pockets. Lubberwort is another word for junk and snack food. Typically, a red fox eats scrub and woodland, but this one appeared to have had his share of hamburgers and hot dogs from the chalet grill. Foxes are similar to dogs, except they are not pack animals. The female fox, or vixen, typically gives birth to a litter of 2 to 12 pups. When they are young, they all live together as a family, known as a leash of foxes. Once grown, the young foxes leave the burrow and go out to live on their own.
It's words you never heard.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Words.
We want to thank you so much for listening to High Road to Humanity. This is where Nancy and her guests tell stories that will guide you and enlighten your mind and soul. Now, welcome back to the High Road.
And we're here today with Les Jensen, and his new book is called Forgiven Sinner, God's Last Savior. And gosh, Les, you're teaching us a lot of good stuff, so thank you.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I have another question. When we want to find our salvation, let me look at this and say, you talk about authenticity. Why is being authentic to ourselves so important? Let me ask you that.
Authenticity gives you durability, if you will. So, in other words, when I'm authentic to myself, I don't accumulate fatigue because I don't hold a facade, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Your authenticity is a place where your energy flows naturally. You don't have to conjure up a story. You don't have to hold up a mask. You don't have to sustain something that has no value to you. And so in the book, I talk about purity and authenticity. Neither one of those words define an attribute of yourself. I'm not telling you anything. It's like the burning bush, as you wish. I am that I am. Mm-hmm. So in all my language, I try very careful not to project any expectation at all as to what you actually choose. I talk about you as a vehicle of choice, a vehicle of consciousness, to give you that freedom to choose as you so desire.
Well, and a lot of times we try to control everything. And it almost, I think it's easier if we just let go. That's why I think that's why they say let go, let God, because people, and I'm guilty of this myself, being a control freak and trying to control the outcome of things. And it's almost better, and it's hard, but you have to just visualize what you want to get or dream about what you want and then let it go, because it may come in a different way or a different form than what you expected.
Well, sure. And indeed, I agree with all that. But at some point, there has to be an action item. And until we get farther down the road in consciousness, I mean, Jesus could go poof and there'd be a bushel of fish out of thin air. But in our paradigms, those kind of things don't happen. But yes, let go as to the how. Yes, let go about trying to rationalize the vision your soul has with your ego. But at some point, there'll be action items. Like to write a book, at some point you got to pound on the keyboard. You got to, you know, choose words. And those are action items to the ego. So certainly let go. Certainly surrender the how to a higher vision, but also stay in tune with the next step, the next moment. What should concern me today? That kind of thing.
Okay. No, that makes total sense. You know, I love when you said in the book, if Jesus would have had Twitter, what an impact he could have made, you know? No, really, think about that. I mean, he could have tweeted out and said, hey, you guys, you know, what are you doing? But he was trying to teach us that we did. Here's what I really have learned, and it really reinforced it in your book, is that we have so much power within ourselves. And Jesus was trying to teach us that we actually are very powerful people ourselves. We are creators. And for some reason, you talk about this too, we've taken that power away from ourselves and given it to an outer source. And God's really not outside. He's inside. And that is such an aha moment for a lot of people, don't you think?
Oh, sure. In truth, you're enlightened now. Every single one of us is enlightened right now. The truth of us cannot be dissolved or diluted by any human intention. So in that sense, enlightenment is a discovery. It's not a creation. There's nothing you need to add to yourself to, quote, become enlightened, because you already are. It's more of an unraveling of all the places you got disconnected from that truth to rediscover the essence, that divine consciousness at the core of your being.
What can just the average person do, I mean, other than, of course, reading your book, because it is pretty informative, to get themselves, you know, into this space, into this place, you know, where they are living this? Because that's what you have to live it. You can't just talk about it. You got to live it. You got to be real. And I love the authenticity thing, because be who you are, right? That's what we need to do, is just be who we are, and it works out better, right?
Yeah,
try to
sure.
Try to be somebody that we're not. Well, that's when the ego comes in, obviously. But what advice can you give to people to get started, you know, to live like this, to change things for themselves?
Well, a couple of things come to mind. Two of them would be, one is meditation, to meditate. And I suggest no thought meditation. When you meditate, you corral your thoughts in, because an untethered ego will gladly consume all of your consciousness. So meditation is a very, very powerful mechanism to discipline your ego and help it to come into alignment with the intentions of your heart and your soul. And another really simple thing to do is go buy a bunch of Post-it notes. Buy a bunch of Post-it notes and put them by the sink, put them in the car, and your mind will be busy doing something else. You're going to be unloading groceries from the car. You're going to be doing the dishes, and you're going to get a single sentence. Why don't you write that book?
Yeah.
And I tell you what, the second you recognize the sentence, write it down verbatim. Because if you don't write it down, the very next thought, you'll drag it up kicking and screaming into your mind, and your ego will start to rationalize it. Who am I to write a book? What do I have to say? And so this inspiration can be lost. But if you take ink and make a physical copy of that inspiration, it's there a minute later, 10 minutes later, 20 minutes later. And as the weeks and months go by, you're going to start to get post-it notes that start showing a theme,
mm-hmm.
a theme for your life. And that's your heart and your soul saying, hey, you know, if you start turning left, we could get out of these flipping weeds and back up on asphalt.
That's true. And I have to attest to that because it wasn't until I started meditating that I really became tuned in. And when you're tuned in, you get all kinds of information and you are so correct. Write it down, because then you see there's a pattern and then you start to see things. And I talk about this in my book too. You know, you start to see signs and then you know you're on the right path.
Sure. Indeed.
So that's something else. You know, have you run into that where you see like a certain number or a sign and it just kind of pushed you in the direction towards your writing, or was it more things that just came through from your meditation?
Well, a little of both, certainly mm-hmm. things that came through my meditation. But when I hear people talk about how my writing has touched their lives, oh, my God, it makes me feel so wonderful. I mean, a lot of people don't even have hope for the future. And when you can plant the seed of hope in that persona, their life changes. And it's because you were here on the earth. And my God, what a sacred path to walk. I mean, I'm pretty bold in my writing, and I roll up my sleeves and turn off the give a crap meter and just speak the truth as bluntly as I can and cringe when I click publish.
No, it's awesome. I think that's what God wants us to do. I really do, because I read your book and you had me. I mean, it was wonderful. I really got a lot out of it. And here I think I know a lot of stuff, but you enlightened me on a whole different way of looking at things. So, and I just think a lot of people are, you know, they think we're preaching or maybe it's ooey gooey when you say spiritual or God. But really, I think you and I, and correct me if I'm wrong, we're just out there trying to help people live a happier, more peaceful, fulfilling life.
We're holding a space of compassion for humanity until they can rediscover the truth of who they are.
Gosh, and maybe we can help people discover that, because it's such a big deal. It's huge. It's life-changing. And I don't know, becoming very spiritual for me has changed my life, and I know for you too after reading your book. Well, I have some more questions for you. I just want to know.
I'm ready for them. Bring
You're
them.
Ready for them. You're so funny. Well, another question is, why do you think, and you write in your book about this, but tell everybody, why do you think that God doesn't save us and doesn't stop the wars, and why doesn't he intervene? I want you to talk about that a minute.
Well, this we're here for the human experience. We're here for the human experience. Conservative math puts the number of prayers to end suffering on the planet in the billions. How many wars have come and gone? Years and years of brutality from one human to another. How many mothers have prayed for the war to end so their sons can come home, or the soldiers in the foxholes? And yet, zero times did a glowing orb come down from the heavens.
Right.
We're here for the human experience. The consciousness driving the direction of humanity is human beings, not divinity. Divinity will show us a map, but we're given fierce, fierce, free agency on this planet. We built out a nuclear arsenal that could make the rock dead, planet Earth void of all life. And God didn't stop that. We're given fierce freedom. So what's the future going to be? As the human beings, because they're the ones that'll choose it and create it.
Well, I think people are waking up and they're realizing that there has to be a change. And I just think that with your book and hopefully with my show and other people out there giving the message and talking about what's important and working from the inside out instead of from the outside in, I think we may achieve it. I really have hope for the future, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Human consciousness, for the reason I just stated, is literally the most powerful consciousness on the planet. Because the deities, the gods, have a hands-off approach. It doesn't matter how powerful they are. It'll be through flesh and bones. You need a body to be able to influence the dynamic of our human experience. And that makes human consciousness the most powerful substance on the planet. Once we learn how to master our own consciousness, the future becomes pliable.
Well, and Jesus says that in the Bible, right?
Well, he didn't say pliable, but he inferred.
But he inferred that we would be able to do what he does.
That's right. And more.
Right.
So belly up to the bar.
Yeah.
Are you ready to perform miracles?
I am. Are you?
Absolutely.
See, that's what I think. I think we have the ability to put those miracles out there with good intentions, right?
You bet. That's what we're here to do, to recognize what will save us and get to it.
Wow. That is so awesome. I am so glad that you came to visit us today, because you're teaching our audience so many things. So, gosh, Les. When we come back, I want you to tell maybe some more of your stories.
We'll be right back with The High Road and more. Don't forget to visit Nancy's website, nancyyearout.com, to sign up for her intuitive personal coaching program or to book a psychic reading. Kids from Oklahoma, man, we don't waste
it. I'm just trying to paint the picture for me. Congratulations on being the proud owner of an adorable, soft, cuddly, sweet-smelling, smiling, cooing, hungry, tired, gassy, screaming little bundle of joy. So now what? Where's the owner's manual for this thing? Where are my instructions? Right here. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on TogiNet.com. Infant care specialist Blythe Lipman has worked with babies for over 20 years and works extensively with new parents, providing workshops, in-home visits, tips, and daily phone calls to ease those frazzled nerves. With Baby and Toddler Instructions, you can get the advice you need on how to survive and enjoy your baby's first year. For more information on Blythe and how she can help you, go to babyinstructions.com. From 32 ways to stop a baby from crying, to 14 ways to get a baby to eat, and so much more. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on TogiNet.com.
Why does music give us chills? Goosebumps, or the medical term horripilation, occurs while listening to music. That's because music stimulates a reward pathway in the brain, encouraging dopamine to flood the striatum, a part of the forebrain activated by addiction, reward, and motivation. Melomaniacs, or passionate music lovers, can get the chills from songs they are familiar with as they anticipate that long-awaited chord at the climax of the piece. Music, it seems, affects our brains the same way that chocolate gambling and potato chips do. I think I may need to stick to chocolate and potato chips, because I tried piano lessons and I felt like a goostrum noodle. What's a word for a person who dislikes practicing the piano? A mesodactylitis.
It's Marching Day.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Words.
We want to thank you so much for listening to High Road to Humanity. This is where Nancy and her guests tell stories that will guide you and enlighten your mind and soul. Now, welcome back to The High Road.
Okay, we are back with Les Jensen, and his book is Forgiven Sinner, God's Last Savior. And, you know, let's give us some information. Where can people buy your book and give us your website and all of that good information?
Sure. Well, my books can be bought anywhere books are sold, brick and mortar stores, online, Amazon. You can go to newhumanliving.com, and I have a list of my books there. There's also lesjensen.com, and that's more of some insight to myself and kind of the background of my life, so you understand where my language comes from. And I have my own radio show that airs tonight again, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Mountain, and you can find a link to that at newhumanliving.com.
Awesome. Well, cool. I'm sure people will tune into it. Hey, there was something else I wanted to ask you, and we were talking during the break, and I said, you know, how can people learn to establish a different relationship with God? I think you talk in the book how, and I even know this when I went to Sunday school as a little kid, you know, you see God, you know, as this person or as this deity or whatever way out here, and you're afraid and you better do right or he's going to get you. So,
yeah. You know, that up.
Well, I know. Where did that come from? But anyway, so how can people start to change how they feel about God? Because there is a creator and, you know, there is a God. So give us some little bit information on that.
Well, it's quite clear God with a big G is not going to reach over our shoulders and meddle in our salvation. It's not going to happen that way. And in this lifetime, I suggest to you now, in this life that we're all living now, is one of the most powerful paradigms to come along in our human mythology, in our human story. And we're at the awakening of the consciousness of a planet. And in order for that to really fulfill at anywhere near its potential, the human beings need to see themselves as the vehicle of the divine. There's a guy walking around on the planet intending to colonize Mars. That's a single persona taking on a task that governments won't even touch.
Right.
And that shows how a single persona can shape the course of humanity. A single persona, which means you, which means me, which means our listeners. Sometimes our soul shows us a very powerful life path, and our egos can't get behind it because we never saw ourselves as being that powerful. And that's just what humanity is wanting, a much more powerful paradigm, a much more powerful story that honors the desires of our hearts.
And the power lies within us.
Absolutely. But until our ego can get useful at fulfilling that divine inspiration, then our egos will be the brakes, will be the lowest common denominator, and we won't show up anywhere near the potential that we could be showing up.
Now, don't you feel like there's more and more of us out there that are realizing this and are getting this message out?
Oh, sure. It's a great awakening.
I think so.
I see legions of sages and mystics and alchemists coming out of the everyday person from all over the planet. This is really a very exciting, very powerful time to be alive.
My husband always says that. It's an exciting time. It's going to be end times, but it's exciting. But I don't think of it as end times. Yeah, I was like, what? I always think of it as a change, as a shift. I see it like you say, people coming into their power, their consciousness, and realizing that things don't have to be bad, that they can actually be good, and that this can be heaven on earth here. So I think the more of us out there talking about it, and it's not weird, and it's not ooey gooey, and they're not. I just don't want to preach to people. I want people to learn this stuff and feel comfortable with it. I think I grew up with people preaching and with a turnoff. Don't you agree?
Well, if it's not authentic, it really it can't touch us at our own truth. If what's being peddled to us isn't true, it can't awaken our own truth.
And right.
So it's I see some very exciting dynamics happening in our human trajectory, if you will. I think we can see things turn around quite quickly.
You know, Les, when I see a show come on TV and it said God Friended Me, I don't know if you watched it, but I watched it. It just made me so happy because it's been like, oh, well, you can't say God. That's not cool to say God. It's nice to see so many more spiritual. I'm not really religious. And I'm not really spiritual. I guess I'm somewhere in between. But I see more of that type of shows coming onto TV, onto Netflix. And it's nice because I see that positive spiritual message being spoken about. And it's okay. It's cool to be, you know, say God right now. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Well,
and
yeah.
I'm so happy to see it finally. It's like, seriously. Anyway,
well,
that's my little rant on that.
If you're worried about what the collective consciousness is going to react to what you're saying, then just tape your mouth shut, because there's so much of the collective consciousness that has no idea what the truth is, and they won't identify with the truth immediately. So if you're hypersensitive and you craft your sentences trying to make them appeasable to the masses, quit talking. You're wasting your breath.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, right?
Well, the wisdom that's got zing, that's got some juice behind it, comes from your heart. It comes from the passion of your soul. And that's the juice. That's the elixir. If you can tap into that and then utter it out your mouth without worry or concern, well, now we're talking about the ability to really get some traction with our human story.
Amen, Les. That's true. Wow, that is so awesome. That's exactly right. The political correctness has gotten a little bit out there. And I agree. Just say what's in your heart and be real. I always say just be real and live it. Don't pretend. Live it. You know, if you're gonna be in the spiritual mode, then live it. Don't pretend you're a spiritual person and then not be. I think they call that a hypocrite, right?
Well, just be authentic and don't care what the consequence is.
Yes, I agree with that.
Stay authentic to who you are, and the rest is incidental.
Right. Well, Les, I loved having you on the show, and there's a couple more questions I have. We've got a few more minutes left here, and I'm just wondering, what's your next book going to be about? I mean, what are you going to talk about next? What are you thinking?
I'm thinking I'm going to write like 15 books before I
okay, yay,
15 more books. And what is my next book going to be about?
Yeah.
I've been noodling that lately because I'm getting to the window where it's time to write another one.
Okay.
What do you think? It could be a book about leveraging the power of your consciousness, or aligning with the divinity within you. Maybe I like the notion of embodying, to be able to embody unconditional love.
Yes.
For all that is, unconditional love for all that is, just as it is right now. Jesus was excellent at that. He was an ambassador to love.
Right.
And I think love is the highest consciousness we can hold in the karmic quagmire.
I agree with that completely.
Because in truth, we're all divinity manifest. We're all the divine spark. And it's this story we've conjured up for ourselves that has no substance when it comes to the truth. And you know, you can't spiritually flog people into enlightenment, even though that might seem appealing. But they have to choose it. And when you speak from a place of love, there's no tether to it. There's no tension in it, especially unconditional love. And people aren't used to feeling that acceptance. And I think it's a very powerful elixir.
You're exactly right. And that's what Jesus had. He comforted people, and he was kind, and he didn't judge. You know, and if we could be more like that, where we are kind to each other and we don't judge and, you know, we put more love out there, because you are correct. Love is the answer. I think that should be your next book, Les.
Well, unconditional love is the natural destination of all spiritual awakening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's the key. So if we can just put out more love vibrations, I always say that. If you put out more love vibrations, I always say you get more love back, because whatever vibration you put out is what you are returned with from the universe.
I agree with you. And don't we sound like the hippies of the 60s and 70s?
I guess we do. And, you know, it took me a while to figure this stuff out, but that's what it is. I mean, you do good and you put out good vibrations, then you're rewarded for it. And when you don't, it goes the other way. So, I mean, it's pretty simple, actually.
Love expands, fear contracts.
I like that. Well, that's true, though. So if we can just start to work on the inside of us and give out more love and more kindness to other people and change the way we think, I think we could be on a, we could get on the high road there.
Well, I like that. if you practice understanding what you love today, is it the smell of the coffee? Is it the sunrise? Pay attention to what you love today, the cute little puppy. If you get good at loving elements of today, you'll be in fine form for loving tomorrow. And if you keep practicing that, you might just end up loving your life.
That's awesome, Les. Les, thank you for being here today with us on the high road. You guys get out there and buy Les's book. It's called Forgiven Sinner, God's Last Savior. It's Les Jensen. And visit us next week on the high road. We'll have somebody else here that's going to be wonderful. Got another, gosh, and I should probably grab her book and tell you what the name of it is, but I don't have it here in front of me, so it's going to be a surprise. Next week, we'll have another guest on, and we'll have another great story to tell you guys. I'm just trying to paint the picture for me, something I could give a damn about in maybe 40 years. And I've been ready and willing and able to edit the story, because there's so many people here to be so damn lonely. Hey, you guys, join me next week on The High Road for more stories filled with wisdom, love, and hope for our future. Have a fabulous week, and know when you stay on The High Road, you make it to your destination. Visit my website at nancyyearout.com, where you can sign up for my intuitive life coaching or a psychic reading. If you have any questions, please email me at nancyyearout@gmail.com. That's nancyyearout@gmail.com. This is Nancy Yearout, lighting the way to your high road to success. Right now, I'm switching to a new lane. Foot to the floor, man, searching for the real thing. Somebody else sometimes ain't no shame. Head to the clouds, ain't. It's like, can I get a connection?